Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is your time here today for our legislative update. I've had my time. I've gotten my time. I'll still throw in a thing or two here and there, of course, throughout the next hour. But we've been doing a weekly legislative update since January, since the Montana legislative session got up and running earlier this year. They are now at halftime. They're in the middle of their transmittal break. So each week when we've done these legislative updates, it's been a very quick update. We got to hear from Republican Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, and Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula. And they both would join us for a quick update. And then we'd roll on to other guests or other topics or your phone calls. Today, they're both, since they're in the middle of the transmittal break, they're both going to join us for the full hour. So it's a great opportunity for you to call in, ask a question, give them a comment, what you want to see happen in the legislative session, what you don't want to see happen, you name it. Montana Talks, you get to talk with your leading lawmakers here. In fact, let's start with one of your phone calls and hear what you want to talk about first. We've got Paul in Great Falls first up on the phone lines. Paul, it sounds like you want to comment on House Bill 49. I looked it up. It's a bill dealing with synthetic marijuana. What's your thoughts?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. When it comes to House Bill 49, my main purpose of the call is hemp-based CBD in Montana has really kind of, taken a beating when it comes to THC limits. I'm not advocating to make synthetics like the Delta legal. I'm advocating to try, because in there it's talking about 0.5 milligrams of THC per serving and no more than 2 milligrams per container. And those limits are almost impossible to achieve, and it is a super small amount of THC. And, we're advocating to get the THC limit rise up a little bit. It doesn't have to be the full 0.3% like federal is. But we're looking to try to get around 2 milligrams or 1.5 milligrams per serving with a much higher container cap than 2 milligrams, because that's where the serving size comes in. And so it's just so restrictive. And one of the problems is people want to get the product anyway. So what they do is they just go online and buy it. And, people come into our store all the time.
So you got a shopping very pleasant. You got to shop in Great Falls.
Yes, okay. We do.
Interesting. All right. So, that's a great topic to cover here. We'll start there right after the break because, recently I was able to catch up with Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, and I know she testified at the Capitol in Helena about why maybe we shouldn't lower the THC limits too much in one category, but why we do need to lower the THC regulations significantly in other categories, especially when it comes to the synthetics, the pot gummy bears, the edibles, and the dabs and things like that. So we'll throw that to the leading lawmakers.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we want to sneak in as many of your phone calls as possible. You can call right now, 406-294-0970. In the meantime, let's start with Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula, the Democrat House Minority Whip. Representative Carlin, great to have you back on the show. So what's your thoughts? What do we need to do with regulation on, legal marijuana here in Montana? What do we need to tighten up? What do we need to loosen up? Or what's your thoughts?
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate you having me on. So with marijuana, it's a tough issue that we deal with in the legislature. Lots of strong opinions. The bill that was referenced, one thing that we're trying to do is address synthetic marijuana, because that's something we're seeing in a lot of our communities. It's making, you know, we've seen really bad reactions for teenagers, for people that are getting sick because it'll be laced with things. They're not buying it at a licensed dispensary. So one thing that bill is seeking to do is really crack down on the synthetic marijuana. And, of course, we also want to make sure that people aren't, that our regulations don't get so strict that we end up propping up a black market. And so, you know, the bill that was referenced by the caller might not be perfect in its current form, and I'm happy to work with him and others on trying to find something that works. But our goal is to really crack down on the synthetics that are having bad health impacts on kids across the state.
Yeah, the dabs in particular was something that was highlighted by Stacey Zinn, because there was, whether you call it an official overdose or not, there were kids that were, you know, sent to the hospital after doing dabs in public schools, like at Billings West High School. Senate President Matt Regeer from the Republican side of the aisle, great to have you for our weekly update as well. Here are your thoughts.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. Great day to be in Montana. I was waking up today and I thought, you know, no matter how the day's going, I'm not waking up in Oklahoma. So it's a good day to be here in Montana. Thanks for having us on here, Aaron. Man, marijuana, where do you want to start? Full disclosure, I didn't vote for it. It was on the ballot. I just see the negative effects of marijuana. But the people in Montana did vote for it. And as Representative Carlin said, there's a line to be walked, whether it's the THC factor or whether it's the tax factor. You don't want to push stuff to a black market now that it's legal, but yeah, you don't want it wide open.
Yeah, and one of the things Stacey Zinn talked about is, you know, she understands why some people, I mean, she explained how the legal marijuana, like if somebody was to smoke a marijuana joint today, it's totally different than, say, an Arbor Day kegger back in Missoula, you know, in the 1970s, for example. So, I mean, she even jokes. She says, this isn't your dad's marijuana. I mean, it can sometimes be 20 times more potent than the marijuana from back then. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. And that's where these edibles and these synthetics, can be really crazy right now, because they're even far more potent than what the marijuana plants are. So, interesting topic.
Yeah. That is different. Like, I will say too, there is some, I think the voters voted on the mom and pop marijuana that, back from the 60s, and they didn't realize that it's a chemical produced thing now. And we had a bill in the Senate that would have capped, THC content and just, to keep it safe. And, I tell you, the hate mail that came in on that one was, I did not know there's an element of the marijuana industry out there that is just vicious.
All right. Property taxes. I should bring that one up before even a caller brings it up, because I know that's on everybody's mind. I was talking with a Billings City Council member earlier this morning, and I was saying, look, like it or not, the state of Montana is going to deliver property tax relief. The governor's backing a homestead exemption. The Republicans are backing some version of a homestead exemption in the legislature. So are the Democrats. It's coming. It's happening. The question is, what's it going to look like? President Regeer, your thoughts first, and then back to Jonathan Carlin here for our legislative halftime report.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a big appetite on both sides of the aisle. I think big appetite on both Democrat and Republican voters out there to do something about property taxes. There's really two different angles from the state level that we can do is regulatory, make it more transparent, make it more voter-oriented on the regulatory side. And then there's the other side of what are we doing with rates and as far as actual dollars on a property tax bill. And that's where, I know we talked about before, Senate Bill 90, Senator Glimm, came off the Senate floor on second reading 50-0. Everybody was unanimously in favor of that, which you don't see too terrible often. And what that does is it takes the tourist tax, tourists that are paying the hotel tax, the rental car tax, a lot of paid for by tourists, and it's just giving it back to Montana primary resident homeowners, just a credit right there on their bill. So it's simple, it's clean, straightforward. Tourists should be helping to pay for the water and sewer roads that they're using. And right now that money is going to the state general fund, and as you know, we don't need it in the state general fund. We're over $500 million to the positive, taking in too much for the state general fund. So that should go back to homeowners that are putting in the bill right now.
Yeah, in a unanimous vote in the state Senate. That was great to see. And that's just one piece of property tax reform. Representative Jonathan Carlin, about a minute to go before the break. Are you more confident here at the halftime that property tax reform will be delivered?
So I'm confident that we're going to deliver property tax reform. What I am really focused on, though, is maximizing relief for the middle class, for the folks that live and work in our communities. And we have bipartisan energy right now. We have three bills from the House headed over to the Senate. Two of those are Democrat bills. One of those is the governor's bill. And then, as President Regeer mentioned, Senate Bill 90 is coming over to the House. I'm excited for that hearing. So I think we just need to keep on modeling these bills and keep on saying, how can we deliver the most possible relief to the people who need it? And I think if we keep our eye on that prize, we will get there.
All right. So more targeted property tax relief is the message I'm hearing from Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin. We want to hear from you. We've got the phone lines open, 406-294-0970. Quick break. Dennis in the Flathead, you're first up with your lawmakers right after this.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Not only can you call into this show, and yeah, call in right now if you have a question or a comment for our legislative leaders that are joining us on the phone lines, this is your chance to tell them what you think should or should not be happening when it comes to the laws that are being voted on in Helena. It's a quick 90-day legislative session, and right now it's halftime. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Speaking of marijuana regulations, we got a message from some dude in Bozeman. That was the name on the message here. Some dude in Bozeman says, as a longtime pot smoker, I agree with Stacy Zinn, but I'd go further. Ban edibles. Drugs should not be disguised as candy. That was from some dude in Bozeman. Let's go to, well, not just some dude. Let's go to Dennis in the Flathead next up. Dennis, did you have a quick question or comment for your lawmakers? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I was just curious why the income tax has gone up so high, because my wife and I claimed single and zero, and we usually get money back, but it seemed like this year, and it seemed like everybody else is saying the same thing, that something would change, because I'm having to pay like $1,100 instead of getting money back. And I was just curious, we're getting nailed on property taxes as well, and now income tax.
You know what? Great question. I've heard this from a few of our listeners. I've had a few people actually reach out. So when you do your federal taxes, I've been meaning to reach out to my own accountant with this very question. Dennis, thanks for the call. Listening to KJJR, we'll throw that one to Representative Jonathan Carlin first. So you can either file your taxes if you're a married couple as, you know, a married couple filing jointly or married filing separately. And apparently, married filing separately, if you've done that in the past, which is apparently the smart thing to do when doing your Montana taxes, apparently there was a change that was made. What are you hearing? And are lawmakers looking into fixing that?
Yeah, thanks. Dennis, it's a great question, because I actually heard about this exact issue from a constituent last night, and it's on my to-do list here to look into, to talk to the Department of Revenue, because I believe in the tax simplification changes that were passed in the last couple of legislative sessions, I think the reduction of some of the the ability to itemize has caused people what they owe to go up substantially. And so I'm looking into it to try to get some answers on exactly what's going on.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah, great to hear. I know I would encourage people, if you don't use an accountant, man, I tell you what, I've got a Montana accountant now. And because before it's like, well, I just, you know, I only had so much. And so, but I never would have thought that, married filing separately before, it could have saved you money, but apparently not anymore from what we're hearing. Senate President Matt Regeer, have you been tracking this as well? And since we're past halftime at the legislature, can anything be done post-transmittal potentially?
Yeah, a few things. We did clarify, I know Senator Hurd said that bill, was it two sessions ago or last session, that simplified it, really mirrored what the feds do more, so you simplified state tax returns on that, the itemized deduction side, but also the rate side. So this is what is confusing. The past two sessions now, we've dropped the income tax rate. It was, I believe, at 6.9, went to 6.75. Now we're down at 5.9, and we're looking. We've got bills. Senator Yakovich has a bill that'll drop it down to 4.7. So it's we're really looking at cutting the income tax rate, which is where most of the money comes from. It should be a huge, huge boon to the middle class, leave a lot of dollars back in the middle class.
Yeah, the reduction in the income tax rates has been great. I certainly noticed it. It was like, oh, wow, you know, while you were getting, you know, still seemingly hammered by the feds, it was like, oh, hey, a little something back from the state here.
But, 3 minutes, stations. But I wonder 3 minutes to your next Fox News 30.
You got to mute the Fox News thing there, Caden. All right, yeah. Otherwise, we'll get overrun here in a couple minutes when that national news update comes on. So, yeah, sorry for the disruption there. Let's see. So, but the question is, I guess, is are those people losing? Are they still paying more despite the reduction in taxes just because of that shift? I guess that, yeah, that's something we'll have to check with the Department of Revenue on here.
Well, I knew we took out a lot of tax credits too. There was a lot of different carve outs for a lot of different groups, and we simplified that. I believe that was 4 years ago, and so that probably did cut out some carve outs for some people, but then we lowered the rate for everybody. So it was, instead of picking winners and losers, it was just trying to get a low rate for everybody, and that's what we're coming back again, trying to lower the rate again for everybody.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. We've got Perry in Columbus. Perry in Columbus, did you have a quick question or comment for your lawmakers?
I do. Good morning, Aaron. My question is about House Bill 490. It's the Montana Electric Cooperative Association bill to protect against strict liability for wildfires that would bankrupt them. And the first question, quick question, yes or no, is has it made it through the transmittal process? And the second question is, if not, where do you guys, both of you, stand on this? Mr. Regeer, Mr. Carlton, stand on this, and will you pledge to support it and get it to Governor Gianforte's desk?
All right. Hey, Perry, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. We'll since we threw the last question to Representative Carlin first, we'll throw that one to President Regeer first. President Regeer, your thoughts?
Yeah, House Bill 490, it's got a great sponsor on it. I'll start off with that. I remember reading this bill or hearing about this back in the summer when they were proposing it. And it makes a lot of sense that utilities have to be responsible. If they're irresponsible, they're still taking the liability. But if they're responsible in everything, you can't, and a wildfire goes, especially if, like, Forest Service is being irresponsible and their tree falls on the line and causes the damage, like, you shouldn't hold the utility company liable for that. And really, the utility company in this is like, I'm Flathead Electric Co-op. I am part of, all my constituents are part of that. You're holding then the people, really the people of Montana, responsible for something that wasn't theirs. So 490, I think, is a great bill, and it is over at the House, out of the House, over to us in the Senate, and look forward to supporting it over in my chamber.
All right, and that's the key, is getting it through one chamber, and then that alone has basically allowed that bill to survive the transmittal deadline and keeps it alive for the second half of the legislative session. Oh, I could just imagine, you know, the sponsor of that bill, as you just heard President Matt Regeer describe House Bill 490, the sponsor is Representative Amy Regeer. And so if he wasn't going to support that bill, not only would the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association want to twist his arm, his sister might wrestle him to the ground and lock his elbow behind his back and tell him, you better support this bill. Representative Jonathan Carlin, your thoughts on House Bill 490.
Yeah, so that bill passed 98-0, third reading in the House. So it was very much bipartisan. The key part of it, the reason I supported it, was because as amended, it required utilities to make a plan when it comes to wildfire mitigation, and to adhere to that plan. And so because of that, I felt like there was enough sideboard to make sure that we're not just saying that we're going to reduce liability for utility companies, but we're also going to hold them accountable to doing everything in their power to prevent power lines from causing fires. So I felt like it struck a good balance.
One of the concerns, obviously, everybody has, especially after what we've seen in California, is just the rising cost of insurance across the West, and how California is playing a role in that, and the fact that we might lose our ability to have insurance altogether as a result of what's been going on in places like California. So I know that's what is really driving this here as well. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Nancy and Whitefish listening to KJJR. Nancy, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, I do. I think with the property taxes that homeowners, it should also include the rentals, because our rent keeps going up every year, and it's not our landlady's fault. It's because of the taxes. So it should include rentals, because not everybody can keep affording higher rent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Yeah, I don't even want to know what the taxes and the rent has gone up that you've seen there in Whitefish over the years. I remember living in Whitefish as a kid, and golly, to see that, you know, how much more expensive that is now. It's crazy. We'll start with the Senate President out of Kalispell, President Regeer. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I would say that, I mean, for rentals, and it's tough to get to exactly to the renter on that, but everything that goes into the rent is all expenses. And I will say, like, I've got a fourplex here in the Valley that it's really kind of low income, way under market value for the rents. And right now I have got, it's in the city of Kalispell, and one unit, I have to rent one unit all year long just to pay the property taxes for it. So that when you do have high property taxes, that's passed on to the renter. What we can do to lower expenses, and one of those expenses being property taxes for long-term rentals, that will just help the market less expensive, and that will trickle down to the renter.
All right. Let me hold it there. We've got about less than a minute to go, about 30 seconds to go. Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula, your thoughts.
Nancy, I 100% hear you. I've got a bill that would give a direct tax credit, would put money back in your pocket to account for how property taxes are driving up your rent, because I don't think you should have to rely on a landlord to pass along savings for you. I think we should be putting money back in your pocket. And if House Bill 154 passes, it just passed the House, it's headed to the Senate, we'll be able to make that a reality. So we are certainly fighting for renters.
And what I like here is, as these different bill numbers are coming up, I've been doing it. I think Representative Carlin has been doing it as well. You go to ledge.mt.gov and you can search the bill. Just type in the bill number, like HB 490 or whatever that bill is, and you can pull up the bill name, the bill text, everything right there, especially as all these numbers are flying at us here left and right. Yolanda in Lewistown, you are first up right after this.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin announced a major revision to the Waters of the United States definition.
To make sure that we are fixing WOTUS once and for all, that we are pursuing a definition that is simple, that is durable, and it will withstand the test of time. Our goal in going through this process is not to be an activist in going through a procedure. This is to simply follow the rule of law.
Agriculture groups are applauding the decision. Mary Thomas Hart is chief counsel for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and she points out that since the Clean Water Act was enacted back in 1972, there have been 14 different regulatory iterations of waters of the U.S.
That's untenable if you're trying to manage a business, plan future land management actions, plan how to pass your ranch on to the next generation. How we manage our land impacts all of those decisions.
Environmentalists have cautioned that restricting the definition of regulated waterways could harm wetland protection efforts. The EPA says they will seek input from stakeholders on the revised water rules for a public comment process. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Hi, everyone.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we're keeping our, you can call it a statewide town hall meeting, your opportunity to interact with leading lawmakers from the Capitol as the Montana legislature is in their halftime transmittal break. This is your Montana Capitol halftime report with Montana Talks today, where you get to jump in on the conversation. 406-294-0970 is the number. Write that number down, though, because the phone lines are full right now, because we've got both lawmakers on the line, and then we've got other folks on the line as well. Plus, we are getting messages in on the Montana Talks app as well. That's a great way to break through the phone lines there. Yolanda in Lewistown next up. Did you have a quick question or comment for the lawmakers?
I do. When you're working, you pay taxes, and they take Social Security out. This year is the first year when I filed my taxes, it has charged me tax again on the money I already paid taxes for. In the past, when I filed my taxes, it's always said, oh, good news, your Social Security is not taxable. And this year, that didn't happen. So I want to know why it changed and what is going on.
So you're talking about for your state income taxes, you were told that you're getting charged... both state and federal. Yeah. Yeah, because as far as I've understood it, that we've always been taxed, well, for a long time now, on our Social Security benefits in Montana. But that's why there's a lot of us who want to do away with that, because there's several states that don't tax Social Security benefits. But you're saying that you didn't used to, but this year you were, or maybe it was just spelled out, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is the first year a little flyer come up that says, the good news is you won't be taxed on your Social Security. And this year I got taxed on it.
Huh. Okay. Oh, all right. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if that was something specific to the program that you were using or what. Representative Jonathan Carlin, any thoughts on that front? Or maybe we got an accountant listening in who could tell us what might have happened there.
It's a good question. It's hard for me to get too much into the specifics without knowing all the details. But when it comes to Social Security, Montana is one of only a handful of states that does tax Social Security. I actually ran a bill to partially eliminate it. I've supported bills to reduce tax on Social Security. Those bills have never made it past the Appropriations Committee. What I will say, though, is that a portion of Social Security tax is exempt, and I'd like to see us do more on this issue. We can't seem to, it's been hard to find a path forward when it comes to the specific issue that the caller brought up. It might be worse. I mean, what I don't know is if it's part of the issues related to the tax simplification that was discussed earlier, or if this is something else. So yeah, it'd probably be worth checking with an accountant, because I just can't weigh in on exactly what's going on in that specific instance.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. What do you think? President Trump, he wants to do away with taxes on Social Security benefits at the federal level as well. What do you think of that?
You know, in general, I mean, I support reducing taxes on working folks, people on fixed incomes. So I've been generally supportive of anything that'll cut middle-class taxes.
All right. Let's throw the same topic over to Senate President Matt Regeer from the Republican side of the aisle. President Regeer, Republicans in previous legislative sessions passed a bill to stop taxing Social Security benefits. It was vetoed by former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. But hey, now that the Republicans are in charge in Helena, I know there's, you know, prioritization with property tax relief that everybody's screaming for right now. But it seems like this is something that could and should be done.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, Wanda, there, of you campaigned on that, getting rid of that. We don't need to be funding state government on the backs of Social Security recipients, and we've done that for a long time. I believe there's only four or five states in the nation that actually tax Social Security. And we need every session we have a bill to get rid of that, and it is a big hit. I believe the fiscal norm has like $50 million, I want to say, a year. And to me, that just shows we're taking $50 million away from seniors, which we shouldn't be doing. We don't need to be doing that. And it seems like every session, the Democrats and a handful of Republicans table that. So we'll keep trying and keep fighting for that. But I'm with that. We should not be taxing our Social Security recipients.
This next question comes from Joe in Helena. And we could probably broaden this out just into agriculture in general. What are some of the bills that have been moving forward that specifically impact agriculture, farming, ranching, et cetera? But this is a specific question from Joe in Helena. What is their position on the additional dollar tax on cattle for a whole new beef promotion program? There's a bill to create a cattle committee. It would be a $1 additional checkoff fee that would set up similar to a wheat and barley committee to help promote Montana beef. President Regeer, since I already have you queued up, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, the checkoff on the dollar, and I've always, so I just got a couple head in my yard just for myself, so I'm not, you know, these ranchers with 100 head that they're running, I'm always confused of, like, yes, of, you guys are charging a dollar for advertising, but they all seem to like it. So that's something I defer to the industry on. If you want to tax yourself a dollar a head and put it in marketing and you believe it's worth it and the egg community is behind it, then I guess we'll leave that up to the community.
All right. And let me throw him on hold. Let's go back to Representative Jonathan Carlin from the Democrat side of the aisle. Jonathan, your thoughts on that particular bill and then kind of big picture, any ag specific bills that you've been paying particular interest to?
Yeah, on that bill you mentioned with the new tax, I voted against that. I tend to resist new taxes. The way I see it is when it comes to marketing, promoting Montana products, I absolutely believe we should do that. I just don't think it has to be through a tax. I think that's something we've got great ag trade associations that are already doing that work. I just don't like the idea of a new tax for that and a new committee. When it comes to other ag bills, you know, we've had right to repair bills so that farmers, ranchers can repair agricultural equipment without having to always go through the dealer. And Republicans voted those down, which I was really bummed about, because we have heard great testimony from folks really frustrated by the cost of delays in getting equipment repaired. So, I mean, I would love to see a right to repair bill revived for our farmers and ranchers.
All right, next up into the phone lines, 406-294-0970. We've got George in Kalispell. George, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Hey, Aaron, you're getting like Rush Limbaugh. We can't get into the phone lines, and you're so busy. So
that'll happen,
thing, I guess.
Especially in the 9 o'clock hour, that'll happen. Yeah, but go ahead. What do you got?
We have about 500 ham radio and GMRS licenses here in the Flathead, and there's restrictions from the homeowners associations from preventing them to put antennas up. And some people are trying in their attics, but they don't have a lot of success. And, you know, with the California fires, North Carolina floods, and even the Southeast with their hurricanes, when everything drops out, the grid, the only people that can communicate are ham radio, GMRS. I don't know if you know what that means, general mobile radio system, like ham radio.
So an important communication
platform.
They're
the only ones that can talk.
But you're being
limited. They're the only ones that can talk.
But you're being limited by your HOA, a homeowners association. Very interesting topic. George, thanks for calling in. Let me free up that phone line here. Let's see. Let's throw that one first to Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula. This kind of ties in whether it's an HOA telling you what you can and can't do on your property or whether it's a city government telling you what you can and cannot do. That's been a big part of the housing debate. Your thoughts, Representative Carlin.
Yes, it's a good question. A lot of my district, a lot of my constituents live in HOAs. I try to go to some of those meetings when I can. We've heard a lot of bills on HOA-related policy, and those are really tough because when my general approach to the HOA that we HOAs is that it's not something that we should be being too active in legislating because we end up, you know, having lots of unintended consequences. And so, you know, I think probably the best way to go about a change is to work with the HOA and try to change the HOA regulations instead of having the state do it. Because, you know, at a state level, we'd be impacting every HOA in the state, and people that have already bought into the HOA get upset when we change rules on them from the state level. So I'm always happy to look into issues, but I've generally tried to take the approach that we should be dealing with these issues on a smaller HOA level rather than a legislative level.
All right, and we got less than a minute to go before our next break, but President Regeer, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think, we've had HOAs becoming more and more prominent in the legislature. I mean, they do get onerous.
and it's not what people always sign up for. I get the value of them. You don't want your neighbor to have a car in the front yard up on blocks. I get that. But when the HOA then starts nitpicking on everything, or changing the rules, all of a sudden saying, yes, you can do short-term rentals, and then saying, no, you can't, and people have already bought in, that's now you're infringing on private property rights, and we need to stand up for private property rights.
All right, we'll hold it right there. We'll get to as many callers as we can here. We've got a former State Senator Brad Molnar, now the president of the Montana Public Service Commission. He wants to say something about taxes or question or comment. We'll get to him. Cade in Lake County, and then you can message us on the Montana Talks as well if we can try to sneak in your question or comment before we wrap up the hour today with our legislative halftime report.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We jumped right into your phone calls and specific topics of the day, from marijuana to regulations to property taxes and more. Before we wrap up our time, we probably should, you know, at least throw it to these two lawmakers to say, hey, here's what we see big picture taking place in the second half of the legislative session for the final 45 days or so. But first, let's sneak in a couple callers here. Public Service Commission President Brad Molnar, thanks for calling in. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Well, I did. Very quickly, first, I've worked with both of those gentlemen, and they both have a difficult job. They're trying to look ahead into 150 different personalities out there to see what they can get through. Representative Carlin is a strong voice for the voiceless, the working poor, and mobile home courts, people that pay for a background check for a house that's already been rented out and never get the money back. I worked with Senator Regeer on taxes, on bills that he tried from the House side. They're both easy to work with. And I think they're a good model for what it takes to have a good legislature. My concerns are two. Number one, I echo what you just said, and I have been saying it about taxing Social Security. Everything you said is correct. 21-23, I was on the tax committee. It was tried in various forms and amounts and time periods. They all died. But this is something I don't know, is because our Social Security tax is tied to the federal Social Security tax. If indeed President Trump does away with taxes on Social Security, will ours automatically go away? That's number one. And number two is under 1510-420, tax shifts happen all the time. About a year ago, Northwestern got a tax reduction of 24%. That was shared with ratepayers. If you lower residential here and there, but the millage moves, then the taxes paid on
commercial utility, will still go up.
Right? Everything else goes right back up.
Yeah, if the cities or the counties don't you know, hold back and prevent that from going up on their local taxpayers. Great couple of points there. Sorry, we're short on time. Brad Molnar, great to hear from you. Representative Carlin, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's great to hear from Brad. I miss working with him when he was in the Senate. So I would say when it comes to what happens at the federal level impact on our state taxes, that's something that I want to talk to the Department of Revenue about, because we definitely need more clarity on that as we get into the second half of the legislative session. So something I'm definitely going to be working on. When it comes to tax shifts, the main thing, I think the way that I and a lot of my Democratic colleagues are looking at this, is that home values are skyrocketing while many of the other tax classes are not seeing the same increase in values. And so what we're trying to do is not necessarily, you know, offload all the tax burden on any one industry, but what we need to do is account for the fact that values are not going up at an equal amount and reduce how much residential property is paying and keep it distributed in as, you know, in a more even way so that we don't end up seeing homeowners paying a larger share of the tax burden. So what we're trying to do is keep it balanced so that we're accounting for unequal inflation of values.
All right. It's pretty interesting here. I saw Jacob Elder had a tweet on the Montana Politics hashtag from the Missoula. And, you know, you think about it again to emphasize the importance of local government spending. And if we don't rein that in here, Missoula taxpayers just at the city level had a 16% tax increase. And yet there's still a $4 million shortfall in the budget in the city of Missoula. That's pretty crazy when you think about it. President Regeer, your thoughts?
Yeah, on Brad's first question there, if we do mirror the feds as it sits now, so if the feds do say no tax on Social Security, that would be the same then here in Montana, and our tax would go away on Social Security in Montana. So, I mean, we can't get it done here at the state. Unfortunately, it's been blocked, so hopefully the feds do that and force us to. I'd love that. Less money coming to state government, too. And then as far as, yeah, the rates, like Representative Carlin, I agree with him on that. We used to do that. That was kind of a bipartisan thing back in the day, you know, 10 years ago you're talking, where we'd just adjust the rates based on how one class inflated or deflated, and we just adjust the rates to make it kind of equitable, balance the scales, if you will. And then we kind of stopped doing that. They realized that was hurting the coffers coming to the state, and which I'm unfortunate that we stopped doing that. And I think this session, too, we can look at that again. Like, residential rates have gone through the roof, commercial not so much. So is that something we can just balance out a little bit and help out homeowners? And I think so.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Kate in Lake County basically called in and was talking about how, hey, back in the day, we got the lottery up and running, so that money could go to schools, and then they used the money elsewhere. So, sorry, we're running out of time here. Let's see. What's the biggest thing, if you just had one line to throw out there, President Regeer, what's the biggest thing you want to see get done in the second half?
Yeah, well, tax relief, whether it's income, property tax, all of the above, and then also House Bill 2. The budget of the state, I'd like to see more efficiencies found in that, invest in things we need to invest in, but then cut the spending that we don't need to be doing.
All right, and then let me throw the final word here. Representative Carlin, you get the final word. What do you want to see, if you could boil it down in about 15 seconds in the second half?
What I'd like to see is real middle-class property tax relief, while also making sure that, you know, we're making meaningful, fiscally responsible investments in affordable housing, affordable child care, and great public schools.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for your time. Have fun herding those cats in the second half.